everyone, and welcome to the Colts Cover 2 podcast. I am IndyStar Colts insider Jim Maiello, and I am joined, as always, by fellow insider and co-host Joel A. Erickson. Joel, I haven't screwed up that intro in like 3 weeks. Maybe two weeks. Definitely knocking on some wood here.
I don't think this table's wood.
It's not? Damn it. Darn it. Shoot. Joel and I decided before this podcast started, we're going to call this the Good or Not podcast. There's a lot of good from the Colts, and we're going to decide whether or not we believe in it. We'll probably play it down the middle like cowards, but that's what we're going to do. The Colts win, by the way, 31-27. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably already knew that. But they beat the Bengals after being down by 21 points, and Joel pretty much writing them off and saying they were dead.
In my defense, they looked dead.
They looked dead. They looked like they didn't show up. I mean, to be fair, they beat the Bengals, who played four quarters. They beat the Bengals using only three quarters, which is impressive.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
That's what happened. So, yeah, they had less time to win, and they did it. So they pulled it off. I think it was, the second biggest comeback in Indianapolis Colts history?
Yes, and they've And they've only come back from 21 down 5 times in their history.
Yeah, so that's, it was a big comeback. So, and a big win for the Colts, who are now 4-2 heading into their bye, can feel good about themselves. I think, I don't know, you've been covering football longer than I have, but, it must be miserable going into the bye on a loss, I would think, just because you have an extra week to think about it.
Yeah, and I think it puts pressure on the bye week, too, where it's less of a rest, and it's more of a, okay, we really got to figure this out. It's really bad if the team has a losing record going into the bye.
Yeah, and they don't. They're 4-2, and like I said, and they got the win against the Bengals. And again, I don't think you'd call any of their wins great ones yet, which is probably a good part of this, good or not podcast, though the Colts good or not, we can get to that. But let's start with Phillip Rivers, because I think he was the story of the game. Throws for 371, three touchdowns, one pick. Completes about 65% of his passes, almost 66% of his passes. This was easily, I don't think it's close, the best we've seen Phillip Rivers in a Colts uniform.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. By Colts standards, 16 plays of 16 yards or more, he had 9. 7 of the NFL version, which is a lot. And some of the throws were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
The 55-yarder was an absolute seed to Marcus Johnson. One of the 20-yarders he hit to Marcus Johnson, a fade, was just gorgeous. He made a couple of throws today where he had to fit it over somebody underneath the receiver and under somebody else over it. And it was just it was the kind of throws that vets make. It was the kind of throws that a vet attempts because he knows he can get it there.
I referenced this in terms of in the story that I wrote, and again, I know there's been a lot of questions about his arm strength. I thought he answered some of those questions today, but really, I think he answered these questions in the preseason in my mind. It was I can throw it deep down the field. I don't have Patrick Mahomes' arm, but if I'm going to throw it deep down the field, I just have to do it with a little more anticipation.
Yeah, and he actually...
Or put a little more air into the ball.
He actually overthrew Marcus Johnson.
Yeah, on a 50-yard throw.
On a 50-yard throw.
Yeah.
We're not talking about somebody who can't get it down the field. We're not talking about somebody who can't get down the field at all. He can push it down the field. It's just when he's going to take the chances to do it.
Right. And I mean, it's weird. It's almost like when we dissect a bad Phillip Rivers game. Actually, that's not true, because last week when he had a bad Phillip Rivers game, Joel's brain broke, and he can only say that Phillip Rivers made a couple of dumbs. Today he made a lot of. What is the opposite of a dumb? Is it just a good?
If the thing about it is, made a dumb is. Using that is also a dumb way to say it, so it adds to it. So you can't that again.
There's no inverse of this. There's no reverse.
No, because you have to actually say it reasoned for it to work.
So an eloquent statement about Phillip Rivers, which I don't have for you. Sorry, guys. I have no eloquence today. I will say that he was he was sensational. I thought maybe the Jack Doyle touchdown. There's an argument to be made on a lot of what his best throws were. There's a lot of contenders. Jack Doyle touchdown was pretty incredible. I thought. Mm-hmm. He threw that one into the corner. Jack Doyle had a dive to catch it. But it was one of those balls that he put only where his guy could catch it.
Yeah, I thought
in the front part of the end zone.
I thought maybe an underrated part of his game, but the one interception, the heat check interception aside, I thought that there were several plays that he decided, I don't have anything, I'm just not going to force it.
Yeah,
and they looked like really bad throws. There was one that was, there were two receivers to the left. They both ran shorter routes. There was a slant, maybe a hitch, or maybe both slants. And both things were covered, and he threw it way behind the outside receiver. And so it looks like a bad pass. But I think what he was actually doing was throwing it away.
Okay.
Because there was a free blitzer coming, and he was just getting it away and getting it incomplete.
Smart decision making. We like to see that.
Yeah, he threw one at the feet of Nyheim Hines.
Yep.
On a screen. Wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yep.
There were a couple throws like that where I thought that he was just doing what the right thing to do was to prevent a turnover. And the interception, we didn't talk about it on the podcast yet. We just talked about it before.
Yeah.
It was a heat check.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, he kind of admitted it at the end. It was too aggressive, but it was a heat check. He'd been so good all game. He had Pascal deep, and he was like,
Yeah, I'm making every throw.
Maybe everything's working.
This one's going in. No, it was almost like it reminded me of, like, the – it's like what he had hoped for was – I remember watching when Nick Foles came in during the against the Falcons the other day, and he was just throwing the ball, and it was getting, like, tipped by Falcons into Bears' hands.
Yeah.
It was just, like, no matter what, it was finding its way into a receiver's hands. I think that's what Philip Rivers thought. He had superpowers.
Yeah.
And he realized quickly that he did not. But I will say that with the bad decisions today – I think that was like, normally a bad Philip Rivers game comes with a couple interceptions and a couple more that maybe should have been intercepted.
Right.
I don't think there were any like that.
No, that was the only one.
Yeah.
That was the only one that you were like, there was one that some people thought looked like it from the press box.
Oh,
they
dropped
a defensive tackle.
First quarter, yeah.
But then I watched a replay and he was the big guy was nowhere near to getting it.
Yeah.
It was well to the left. So, like, yeah, he was locked in. Philip Rivers was locked in today. This was Philip Rivers, I think in a way we haven't seen him. I think in the way that makes people talk about him like he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That prompts some of the stuff that Frank Reich said earlier this week. This is what Rivers can be at his best.
I giggled because Joel and I have had some debates about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. We can maybe save those for another time, but
please do. I'm not ready.
You're not ready to do this?
No.
Okay, we'll save it. Let's like tease you guys with that one. I don't know. Maybe that's a bye week topic. We'll see. What was I going to ask? Oh, yeah. So the question was the narrative going into the game. We're talking about narratives a lot of the time because we helped craft them. And one of them was that he couldn't just go out and win a game for the Colts. Like, if they were down by multiple scores or if the game plan was simply go do it, wasn't going to happen. We'd seen against Jacksonville, it didn't work out. Against Cleveland, it didn't work out. So we figured that's it. We've written it, both of us. So in a way, this is kind of a mea culpa in that you say, well, we were wrong.
Yeah, we were wrong.
So what's the lesson you learned from that, I guess? Because he did prove today all those that narrative is dead now. Anytime that they're down by multiple scores or whatever, he still might kill you with throwing interceptions, but we've seen that he can bring you back.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I think the lesson is that it's still in there. Like, the Rivers that people really revere and talk about, the one that Reich was talking about earlier this week, it's in there. Is it going to come out every time? I think that's obvious not. I
mean, yeah, right.
It's one of six so far this year, but, like, it's in there, and there's a possibility of it being there. I don't know.
So buckle up. That's what he's saying.
I will say this. I don't know that there was a possibility of a game like this in last year's offense.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I don't know that Jacoby Brissett's coming back down from 21-0.
I'm trying to think of his biggest comeback. There was a game where he came back, but not this big, to your point.
Yeah, and... I don't feel like it was ever this much on his shoulders.
No.
I mean, the Colts only ran it 15 times today, and one of those was a kneel. I mean, this game was Philip Rivers.
Yeah, it was all Rivers. And again, that's one of those things. I think it's fair to say that we learned that maybe there's and again, this is probably true in football in general. There's probably no one size fits all narrative that will play itself out all 16 games, unless you're the Jets and you're going to lose all your games.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was evidence around the league the last couple of weeks. The Chiefs lost to the Raiders.
Right.
People were talking about the Chiefs going undefeated. The Packers were rolling, and Rodgers was playing like an MVP, and neither of those things happened while we were writing today. Rodgers cost the Packers a game. Nothing is going to look exactly the same every week. And talking in absolutes is probably a problem. Now, I do think there are quarterbacks in the league that cannot win you a game.
Right. We learned that Rivers wasn't one of those guys.
We learned that Rivers is still capable of it. And before, I mean, everyone's going to say, like, it's the Bengals, whatever. The Bengals were fourth in the NFL in opposing passer rating. They were ninth or something like that in yards. They were sixth in yards per play. Like, they've been good against the pass.
Yeah. And actually, and again, that wasn't just because they've been so bad against the run. They have been bad against the run, but they were middle of the pack in points allowed. So they've overall been a pretty good defense, or at least an average
defense.
They've
been a decent defense, and they've been better against the pass. Bad teams can be good at certain things.
Yeah.
And Rivers just torched him. He just torched him.
Do you think the lesson, do you think Frank Reich learned was we should do this more? or is it this work today?
I think it's more the latter. I think it's this work today.
Okay. So they still ultimately want to run the ball better than they have. And again, you mentioned this, but I think we just said 60 yards essentially because they lost mm-hmm. 5 yards a carry. That's good, but 60 yards total. This is not what the Colts want to be.
Right.
Well, and so eventually they're going to have to rely on that run game.
And they normally I don't do this. Normally I don't talk about this in terms of like the big plays happened, but I'm going to take them out for one reason and one reason alone. Jonathan Taylor had 2 carries that went for 38 yards. There were a lot of people who were tweeting at me wondering why the Colts were still throwing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I think it's because on the other 13 runs, they only gained 21 yards.
Yeah.
And so Frank Reich couldn't be confident that the running game was going to just power its way down the field because it didn't do that other than 2 runs.
Yeah.
And so that's why that happened. Like, the running game still has to be much better. I think Jonathan Taylor is getting a lot better.
Agreed. He actually – there was a couple cutbacks that you and I noticed that he had some holes that I think – you know, here's what I will say. I looked at these numbers, and Next Gen actually put this up. He was actually like, it was like the yards that you're expected to gain on your carries. Mm-hmm. He was at negative 0.1. So like almost zero. Right. He was getting almost everything he was given. I thought today was probably the best he's been at creating yards on his own.
Yeah, he's been doing this for a couple weeks now. He's been getting better and better and better. I would bet that if you go back and look at the last 4 weeks, I bet Jonathan Taylor's averaging 4.5 yards a carry or so, 4.6, and the rest of the running game is averaging like 2.
Yeah.
So he's asserting himself a little bit more. But they still don't get enough push. They still don't open holes well enough.
Agreed.
The first couple drives when they tried to establish the run a little bit were just awful.
I actually think that was what Frank Reich did. I think Frank Reich tried to run a couple of the first couple drives. Like, oh, yeah, it combined with the fact that they're down 21. But he also thought, this isn't working. Why keep beating my head against the
wall? Taylor's first 3 carries, he had 4 yards and nowhere to run on any of it.
Right.
There was one he tried to bounce the outside, and you could fault him for the decision, except that there was no hole. There was no hole. A guy on the outside made a good play on him. Like, you'd like to see him beat that guy. But there was no hole where the play was supposed to go. That's why he tried to bounce it.
So here's a question about that, because I want to eventually get to some other stuff. But I posted a stat that people seemed very interested in, which was that Jonathan Taylor faced a loaded box 27% of the time so far this season. A lot of people think that, again, I think there's some noise in that, and that they were winning big in 3 games, so they were, you know, they were running and teams knew it. However, there was some people suggested, and I think it's valid, that teams were stacking the box saying, "I dare Philip Rivers to beat you," mm-hmm. and he hasn't done it yet to beat us. I thought. So my question is to you, does today open up things for the run game going forward, maybe?
Well, I think if you're a defensive coordinator, you have to take this game into account. If you can't, like, for example, you can't just be like, oh, we don't care who 83 is. You sure. can't do that anymore.
Yeah, good point.
You're not going to roll coverage to him like he's a number one, but you can no longer just go, we don't care who Marcus Johnson is.
Right.
Because he's now has He now has 5 explosive catches on 9 catches this season in 3 games.
And yeah, he's just a big play machine right
he's
now.
He's a big play machine, and you have to take that into account. So you have to take that into account. You have to take into account that Rivers can push the ball down the field.
Yep. I
had a ton of explosive plays today. You do. It changes the way you look at it a little bit.
I should
have. Because maybe he'll – because you might let him get hot, and then he might beat you the way he beat the Bengals.
I was going to say – I should have got the game book. You might know the numbers off the top of your head because you did the number story that we did. But there's probably some it's not a coincidence, I should say, that the tight ends were heavily involved in the offense today, that the running back – or the passing game, I should say. The running backs were heavily involved in the mm-hmm. passing game today, and that Rivers enjoyed such a successful day. And they hadn't been in Cleveland. I mean, we saw they weren't really involved in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. It was a really bad day. I don't think it's a coincidence to say, hey, Jack Doyle, Trey Burton got really involved.
Yeah.
I think Jack had, what, 3 catches, but I think Trey had 4 or 5?
They had 7 catches for 87 yards.
Okay, and then Jonathan Taylor actually had a pretty good game receiving
4
as well.
4 for 55.
There you go. So he did involve the running backs and the tight ends, which, again, we know this is vintage Philip Rivers, right? In every right. way, this was kind of vintage Philip Rivers, in that even the guys that you expected to be successful in a Rivers offense were. So I introduced this podcast as the Good or Not podcast. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Philip Rivers good or not?
It depends on the day.
Right down the middle, I agree.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think he's good for this. When he's not throwing interceptions, he's good for this offense.
Yeah.
This is a better passing game than it was last year. It just is.
Oh no, they were 13th in explosive plays going into this game. They're going to be top 10.
I think they had 7 plays of 20 yards or more. Because see, the hard part is the NFL doesn't track the 16 on stats easily. The way the Colts track it as 16, the NFL tracks it as 20. So I'm just going to give you 20.
They had 15 plays like that.
Yeah, they had 15 plays of 20 yards or more. I know they had 7 passive plays of 20 yards or more today.
Right, so they'll be at 22.
They'll be at 22. Last year, the entire season, they had 38.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to be...
They're way ahead of pace.
And they're going to, like I said, they'll be in the top. That was, going into the day, that was 9% of their passing plays. That'll jump up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And they'll be in the top 10 in the NFL in explosive passing plays. And again, large part to, didn't play today, but Mo Alie-Cox has had a bunch of them this year. But Marcus Johnson has really taken the reins in
there. 5 of them.
Marcus Johnson, good or not?
Good.
Yeah, I think again,
Marcus Johnson's good.
Not a star. And again, we'll have a T.Y. Hilton discussion, maybe not today, but later. But Marcus Johnson has become a pretty reliable. It's like the joke we made about Justin Houston, 1 sack a game, which he hasn't had in a couple of weeks. But Marcus Johnson, one big explosive play a game, and he had 3 of them today at least.
He's a different. So sometimes when people think about a number 3, they think about like the slot guy. Marcus Johnson's a different kind of 3 in that, like, ideally, Marcus Johnson, I think, can be like the big play 3.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the guy who, you know, he's not going to catch a lot of balls every game.
Yeah.
He's not going to be 75 catches every game. But you have to watch out for the 36-yarder. You have to watch out for him getting down the field. I think the other thing that's important with Marcus Johnson is it's not always a deep ball.
No.
He's very good at that. He's very fast.
We talked about this in the second half. They started throwing a couple comebacks to him because they were playing 10 yards.
Because they played off of him, and he just ran a stop route and just turned around.
Yep.
But one of the 20 yards was a fade. I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. He's run deep overish type stuff the last couple of weeks. Like there's some different ways you can get Marcus Johnson the explosive play.
I had a rough jinx day today.
Yes, you did.
I did.
A very rough jinx day. Don't let Jim say things about the Colts.
Okay, I'm about to.
Making things bad.
Has Marcus Johnson dropped a pass this year?
Yes, he dropped one today.
He dropped one today?
Yep.
Okay.
It was his one. It was his one blemish on the day.
I don't remember this. What was this?
It was out in front of him, but he should have made the catch.
Okay, but mostly, my point was going to be that even on the odd times when you have the deep balls, they're not as catchable. And it seems like he comes down with so many.
Yeah.
Even going back to like Tampa Bay with Jacoby, he just found a way to come down with them.
No. He's a big play guy. Now, people were asking like, why did they cut him and stuff? He's had some really really bad training camp luck.
Just
terrible.
Injuries during training camp are a horrible way to make a team.
And so that's part of it. But, man, you got to just – like we're getting to the point where you just need to count on Marcus Johnson.
This is literally the exact same conversation we were having last year, only cross out Marcus Johnson's name and write Zach Pascal.
That's a good point.
I mean, so they're getting these contributions never from the guys we expect them to. T.Y. was too – honestly, T.Y. hasn't had a good year this year and was too banged up last year to do it.
Nope. Had a rough day today.
Paris hurt last year. Paris hurt this year. And then you add Pittman. Pittman and Funchess kind of cancel each other out in that way. So – we're back to this, like, okay, who's the replacement receiver that's got to step up? But last year it was Pascal, who had a pretty good day, and now they have Marcus Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy that they couldn't find any of these guys.
And then throw in DeMichael Harris today.
Oh, yeah, he looked good running again, and Joel, I give him credit, he was all over DeMichael Harris as kind of like the I don't even know what to call it, like lesser Paris Campbell.
He's like the Paris Campbell backup.
Paris Campbell light.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's really shifty, really fast. They had to run some crossing routes. I thought they didn't throw to him all the time, but he was open a couple times, and I thought he looked pretty good today.
They ran one of the screen. They ran a screen type thing that they run to Paris. He's not Paris. Don't expect him to be Paris. He doesn't have that kind of speed, but he can do those types of things.
Yes.
He was a running back at Southern Miss. That's why he can do some of those things. I think that's why he was up today, is because they had a bunch of guys on the roster who were all kind of like the same type of receiver.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have that role. I'm sure they worked hard on like how what are we going to do with Paris Campbell this year? They lose him.
Yeah. And the guy I wrote this name down. I know you watched me do it. I wrote it down essentially because this is the guy who wouldn't fill Paris Campbell's role, mm-hmm. Desmond Patton.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's time we ask about him.
Yeah, like what's going on there?
Yeah, because they've called up DeMichael Harris, they called up Breece Fountain, they called up Marcus Johnson, all while they kept Desmond on the active roster, but haven't played him ever. So
they've stashed a couple guys so far. Desmond Patton is a stash. Rondell Carter's a stash. Jacob Eason's a stash.
I don't mind the stash at all, but I thought, you know, with the amount of injuries they've had to receivers, I'd like to know what Frank Reich thinks. Like, why isn't he ready at this point?
Yeah, I think it's a question we definitely have to ask.
That one tomorrow, and again, now we're just taking you into like our meetings, Joel and I.
I have
like,
Kamoko Turi.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I was today. We have to ask about Kamoko Turi because he's eligible to come off a pup.
And Pittman. That's about Pittman. Although we saw Pittman last week.
We saw Pittman, and like I said, I think the things are turning in the right direction. So I did ask you, I'm going to dive real quick back in there. I'm going to say the same thing you did, which is, again, maybe not good radio, which I'm calling it now, good podcasting, is that I agree with you on Phillip Rivers. I think we need to – he's best – he's going to kill you. There's going to be some more games this year where he's going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be some – but now we know there are some games this year where he could save them, which we didn't know before, which I think is important to know. So give him credit. Give him – and again, like, go read Greg Doyle's story, if you guys haven't already, on IndyStar.com, because he wrote about what I thought was one of the best press conferences we've had with a player – in a while.
It was really self-reflective.
It was great. It was really great, Phillip Rivers, and Greg got to write about it, and it was really good. Him just talking about reading some of the bad things we've all written about him, and him not being mad about it, just saying we were honest about it. So I will say this. We owed Phillip a mea culpa, or at least an apology, in that he can't win a game. He went and did it. Mm-hmm. You and I get to take a victory lap, I think, on Frank Reich. Because there's been some calls around Indianapolis that say he's lost at his play caller, he's not as very good anymore, he's not creative anymore. He had an excellent day today.
Yeah, there were a lot of open receivers. There were a lot of good play calls.
I thought, and again, I thought sticking with the pass later in the game, I know Rivers threw the pick, but I thought sticking with the pass, what is working? And keeping the ball. They actually did grind out a couple first downs.
They had, like, the last field goal drive was like 4.5 minutes or something like that.
And you mentioned in your tweet, I think, that they did try to run, but mostly they just found success throwing the ball and keeping killing the clock that way. I thought, and again, I can't tell you how many times I said during the game, especially in the second quarter and third quarter, that I'm like, my God, there's three guys open. And that's, some people took that as a shot at Rivers. He was hitting them. Mm-hmm. But these guys were schemed open. No offense to some of the route running, but they were just wide. Wide open. They were college open.
He got Trey Burton wide open. He got Jonathan Taylor wide open on one. Honestly, the play to Marcus Johnson that Rivers overthrew him on.
Wide open.
I mean, that was whatever they called was good. And I like the aggression there right after you get the ball on the their side of the field.
Yeah.
Because if Rivers hits that, the game's over.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, throwing the pick at that spot, because like that was kind of what only gave the Bengals life. But if he throws it, if it's a complete pass, but again, if they score there, the game's over. Mm-hmm. I also like that, by the way, down 21. Again, it's predictable in a way, but the bomb down the right sideline to Marcus Johnson when you're down 21, that offense felt like it just, like the weight lifted off them.
Yeah, I also really liked the way they handled Trey Burton on the run.
100%. Oh, the Wildcat?
The Wildcat, because, and here's the key to it. The key to it isn't that they did a Wildcat with him. The key to that is that they lined up with Rivers at quarterback. And Burton in the slot, and then they switched places, and then they snapped it very quickly.
Joel.
They didn't give them time to go, oh, 80's a quarterback, this is different. They snapped it very quickly, and the speed and the tempo of that, I think, is what makes that go.
Explain to me why Jacoby Brissett couldn't have been in for that play.
Because if there's two quarterbacks on the field, and the moment they see it come out, they're like, okay.
Line up Jacoby, not Rivers, take Rivers out, and then they're like, oh, Jacoby's in, and then motion him out, Burton weirdness.
You're still already on guard. Because 7's in and not 17.
They're going Wildcat. You think it's going to be Jacoby, and then he motions. I just need a play, Joel. I'm down big here.
No, it doesn't work as well because as soon as 7's in the game, you're on guard. Whereas if 17's in the game, you're thinking as a defender, you're thinking like conventional Colts offense.
I don't know if I agree. I think it's more
out,
confusion.
They switch out and you see 80, and you're like, wait, oh shoot.
I think it's more confusing because you see 7 come out and you're like, okay, we know these set of plays. And then he motions away. You're like, wait, what is going on here? How are they going to keep him involved in this play? And then you don't even use him.
No, I'm not with you.
I disagree. But I am desperate and biased, so there's no denying that. So my opinion, don't even take my opinion.
I really like the design of just the tempo of it. The tempo of how quickly he got back there and they snapped it, I thought was important.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really cool play.
And also, people might have forgotten this. Trey Burton was a quarterback at Florida who spent, like, seasons doing this.
See, that might be the – yeah, actually.
Like,
so do you think
he's very used to running the zone read on the goal line.
Cincinnati knows, like, did they – again, I have to look at the Philly special, but did they line up? Was that it?
I think the quarterback took the snap on the Philly special.
He did? And then he flipped it to the tight end.
Because he flipped
end.
To the
yeah,
tight end
right.
And then
okay.
ran out.
I didn't know if they were trying to get him into that, like Bengals thinking, oh, Drake might throw it. I'm not sure the Bengals.
They probably thought, they might have thought that.
Yeah, because he's
might
a quarterback.
Be in there. Yeah, I mean, he played quarterback.
It's not on tape, but I think maybe. Like, they haven't
it's
had Drake throw
it. It's not on tape
it.
With the Colts, but like, yeah. I think you know that from their history. I think you're like, okay, if they're going to run a gadget play.
That's true. Okay. Anyway, I love the play call, despite the fact that I didn't get a Jacoby hit there. I mean, what's depressing for me on this bet, by the way, is that...
You're way behind.
I'm way behind. That's depressing as well. Is that most of the time he's standing on the sideline, he's at the end of his helmet. It's just him in a hat. And I'm like, there's not even hope, Joe. There's not even hope. I'm like, I want to go down there and hand him his helmet. Can you just hold this for, like, pretend? So anyway.
You need to try to jinx it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You keep saying like it might happen, and then you jinx it from happening. If you say they're never going to use Jacoby, I bet they use him against the Lions.
I think your point last week was right, that once we started asking about when Phillip Rivers was bad, and we all started asking about is Jacoby going to play, you know, or see more of the field because of how bad Rivers was, that effectively, like, that was right, just got in his, like, I'm digging his feet into the dirt, like, we're going with Rivers, we're going to win with Rivers, we're never going to see Jacoby again. I think you were right about that. I think we all kind of, me and Kevin and a couple others kind of killed ourselves on that.
Uh-huh. It's so. Really just you, though. No one made a bet with Kevin.
That's true. I am out on this ledge all on my own.
Yeah.
That's fair. So, let's see, what did I want to finish up with?
We need to do some defense.
Let's switch over to the defense. Just god awful in the first half.
Yeah, and I think this is where, like, we're talking about good or not. I think the Colts defense is good.
Okay.
But I do not think the Colts defense has proven they're elite yet.
Which is where we thought. So, like,
despite their number one rank.
This is really hard. And I don't want to ask you this in this way because it's tough. But, like, if you were to, like, rank the defense, and again, you're not looking at the other 32 teams, but would you comfortably say that, like, when you say they're not elite, does that mean they're not top five?
They're not top five.
They are top 10?
I think they're probably a top 10 defense, okay. But they're not a top five defense. Okay. They still haven't given up 400 yards this year.
Right.
In a year where everyone's giving up 400 yards.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably the right now they're probably the best defense Eberflus has had.
Sure.
But I think for four games there, we were starting to wonder, like, is this like a difference making defense? And the last two games, I think, have told us they're not there yet.
Not yet, but it's like you can see it. There's glimmers.
Like they might be able to get there.
Yeah.
But they're not there yet.
Yeah.
You can't go up against a Cincinnati team that's given up sacks the way they have, and then only have two. You just can't. And a lot of it, honestly, a lot of their pass rush in the second half today, to me, just felt like DeForest Buckner. Like, if Colts fans haven't realized, if you don't see DeForest Buckner for like a half, just wait, it'll come. Like, well, he'll be there.
Also, if you don't hear his name, it doesn't mean he's not having an impact on the game.
But he's having a huge impact on these games. He's six games in, he's got 28 tackles, which is
stupid for defensive tackle.
Way too many for a defensive tackle. Are way more than you'd expect one to have.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
2.5 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, and then this is the number that really gets me. 13 quarterback hits. 13! The Colts were led last year by Justin Houston's 18.
I know.
Which was, like, just outside the top 10 in the NFL. He's got 13.
Speaking of Justin Houston, a little disappointing the last couple of games. Just hasn't really had a big impact yet.
Yeah, no, hasn't. He
might be playing hurt, though.
They've lost the sack from him. They've lost the he's a little banged up, I think. But yeah, they've kind of, he's in a little bit of a rut here.
I wouldn't be surprised if he came back against Detroit and had a sack.
That's my jinx. There you go. Now you can feel a little better about yourself. I wrote about Justin Houston's sack streak, and then he hasn't had one in the last two games.
We're talking about the jinx. I tweeted out, and I would call it a mild obsession, with the fact that Colts had not fumbled the ball or recovered a fumble.
Yes.
Second play of the game.
Yeah, that was a really bad jinx.
I mean, I got to own that one.
Yeah, that was on
you. I mean, and nobody even touched him. Jack was like, ready, Jim? Drop the ball.
That was. Not only was that on you, you pawned it off on our editor, Nat Newell, because he actually tweeted about it.
I didn't pawn it off, did I? What did I do?
Well, I mean, you put the bug in his brain, and then he tweeted it, and then he caught the heck for it.
That's true. So, but I also
really, it was your fault.
I also tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
I also reverse jinxed the Giants fans. You're welcome. I said that New York was never going to win a game this year, and then they did.
The city of New York wasn't going to win a game.
Yeah. There was another one.
There were like two or three. It was Jim had a rough day jinx-wise.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to Colts fans for the Jack Doyle one. Even though, to be fair, it could have easily been the other team. I was pointing out fumbles on both sides. They still haven't recovered a fumble.
That's not the way jinxes work.
Six games.
That's not the way jinxes work, Jim.
So wait.
They forced one today. Rocky Sin forced one.
He did, but no fumble recovery, so it doesn't count. No. So wait, where are they? One fumble lost, one pick. So they actually lost one in the turnover battle today, right?
Yes.
So they're plus three for the season, which is pretty good.
Yes.
Plus six for the season is pretty good, especially when you've recovered no fumbles. When you have no fumble luck, that's kind of ridiculous.
Which is real strange.
Yeah, they'll get that, which is, again, for the defense, that'll be a big...
Well, when Darius comes back, like, eventually he's going to get one.
Yeah, Kenny. Blackman apparently just forces turnovers everywhere. That's all he does.
Yeah.
We'll get there, but I do want to say, yeah, the first half... By the way,
Julian Blackman, good.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to get there, but yeah, that's an easy one. Maybe great is the way to go. God, Lord, that kid. I didn't expect this much this soon.
No, nobody did, because he tore his ACL in last December. We're not even a year out yet.
He also
had a really big tackle. I can't remember if it stopped them from scoring points or not, but they had a big play going up the sideline, and he made the tackle on it.
I actually want to point out too. Well, wait. Before we do goods, we should probably finish the bad. What do you think? Again, it's really hard without having watched the tape, and we didn't really get a chance to ask a lot of these defensive guys. But like, what do you think the main
pass rush
change? But they didn't get a ton of pass. I got some. I shouldn't say it. They flustered Blunt.
What do you mean the main change between the first half and the second half?
Yeah,
pass rush.
They got more on Burrow, more flustered.
Buckner started getting a hit on him every series.
Okay.
Buckner would get a quarterback hit every series.
So this is the same as what happened in Cleveland then.
Exact same thing.
Okay.
I mean, I also think Rocky Sin had a rough day.
He also made a couple nice plays.
But he came back at the end. Yeah. He had a,
but overall, I agree.
He had a pass breakup, and he did break up a deep ball getting beat on one.
You were ready to upset Colts Twitter by talking about how bad Kenny Moore was in coverage in the first quarter, I think.
He had a rough day in the first quarter.
The only guy who didn't really have... I think Xavier got beat, but mostly he was like once or twice.
Xavier Rhodes has been good.
Yeah.
Like...
Good. I think I'm ready to make a call on that. Good.
You think it's full good now?
Yeah.
Like, there's a part of me that wants to say no, but like, man, he's having a real bounce-back season.
For me, it's been 5 good games, 1 bad one.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, noticeably good games. It hasn't been like,
5-1 is a pretty good ratio.
Where was Xavier? He didn't really show up, but they didn't really throw. He's actually had good, solid games.
He had 3 passes broken up today. The one thing the Colts defense did a lot of today, they broke up a lot of passes. It's like 9 or 11 or something like that.
I thought that actually came over from Cleveland. And again, we talked about this. The Cleveland guys are making some incredible contested catches. But the Colts have been in really sticky coverage the last couple weeks.
Yeah, the Bobby Okereke's having a really good... Although he had a drop pick that he wishes he had.
He's got a club on his hand.
but he had a couple of really nice plays today. I think when they get Leonard back, that's going to help because Darius has been so good in coverage the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Rock had a rough start to the game, and then it got better. I also think that I want to see more plays on the ball from Kari Willis in the pass game. I think sometimes he's a little bit late in the zone.
Yeah.
So I think that can improve. But these are things that need to improve in the coverage. I think the real issue, though, is the pass rush has to get going right away.
Yeah.
It's got to get going right away. It wasn't there in the first half, really, other than Tyquan Lewis, who had a good day.
Tyquan Lewis did have a good day, and I hope he starts to see some more snaps, only because it feels like even with limited opportunity, he usually makes an impact.
He's of their backup linemen. Well,
and Muhammad.
Muhammad and him have been the most consistent.
Yeah, Muhammad's been pretty good, and
Muhammad and Lewis have been the most consistent.
It's tough. They're deep. Did you notice Sheldon Day today?
No. They're not as deep as I thought so far.
Well, I mean...
They need to be better off the edge.
Well, that's Kamoko. I mean, that's just whenever that comes back...
Well, it should also be Banigou. I think Ben Banigou is starting to feel like...
It's a miss.
He's got to get going.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like a miss, I should say. I'm not saying it is.
It's feeling a lot like Tyquan, actually, without the injuries.
Yeah, but that's worse. That's bad.
Yeah.
No excuse with injuries.
He's got to start producing off the edge some. He just does.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, when we talked to... Baker, like when you asked about Banigou, I felt like he was reticent to like compliment him.
Well, it sounds like he's still a little bit lost.
That's what I mean.
What he's doing.
Like he hasn't figured it out yet. And again, they say it takes 2 to 3 years for these for pass rushers. So they're still, I'm not giving up on him. It hasn't really shown up. And when Justin Houston is maybe playing banged up and isn't as effective, they don't have a lot of presence off the edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Danico's had some good moments for sure. Muhammad too.
Well, but Danico's moments have been a lot of in the third down rush, Danico moves inside.
I was just about to say they don't have third down edge rush consistently outside of Justin.
Outside of Justin, so they need to get either Kamoko back and playing well, or they need to get one of those other two guys has to step up.
I'll say this now. I hope Kamoko comes back and is great. But I think it's just one of those things where you might have to give him a little time.
Yes, should not. I don't think you should expect a ton.
Like, I think they're going to bring
him
back.
He hasn't played football in more than a year.
Agreed. I think they're going to bring him back when he's fully 100% healthy. I think they're going to wait. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's also going to, like, he's going to need, there's like, you know, there's the football shape. There's that kind of thing.
And there's just like the natural use of the rush.
I just think,
like
so second half, I mean, again, was there anything else in the first half we needed to... I mean, I thought the play that really, really eked.
The run defense wasn't great in the first half.
It irked me that Joe Mixon just pushed through the entire defensive line for 7-yard touchdown.
That was bad.
That was like a – that was just – you just felt like they weren't – like they were confused.
I thought this was the worst defensive game the Colts have played.
Yeah,
start to finish.
They're mostly good. So I'm trying to think. They were so good against Cleveland in the second half. Yeah, that's fair. Maybe Jacksonville.
I mean, Jacksonville, I think, is the contender, but I think they were they only gave 3 points in the second half, but the Bengals moved the ball.
Yeah.
Burrow threw for something like 150 yards in the second half.
I will
They moved the ball. They benefited from a missed field goal.
Yeah. Yeah, but 3 points, like, again, in four.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. But, like, I really thought that this was the – they never, ever really started dictating to the Bengals. They made a couple of, like, key we got to have them stops in the second half. But it wasn't like they were dominant. It wasn't like they were just shutting down everything the Bengals did. That last drive until Blackman made the pick, like, they gave up a big fourth down. They should have got off the field on that.
That's true. And Burrow's good. Give him credit. The kid can move.
That kid has poise. Oh, he two of his best.
Too much, I think. To his detriment. He just stays there and takes a beating sometimes.
Two of his best throws were completions to contested receivers with DeForest Buckner bearing down on him on plays Buckner got a hit for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this goes without saying, but the Colts need one of those at some point. They need a guy like that.
Yeah, that'd be nice to have.
The problem is you have to use the number one pick on those guys.
Yeah, that's a conversation for another time.
I know, but let's just throw it out there so people know we're thinking about it.
We are thinking about it, but I don't see this team's too good to get Trevor or Josh Fields or any of those guys. Probably Trey Lance too.
Yeah, probably not. So, we gotta do special teams.
But you have one more field to go to for our good or not. Oh, wait, do any other defensive guys you want to say are good or not? I made the call on Xavier. I'm ready. He's good.
He's good.
This is a good year.
No, I don't have anybody else.
Blackman, we saw good.
Right? Blackman's good.
Okereke, are you ready to, like, I wrote about him this week. I think he's getting there to take that lead.
Yeah, I think he's right on the cusp of, like, really good.
I think the Colts, in theory, starting next year, and maybe later this year, could have two great linebackers. And again, that's no knock at Anthony Walker. I think he's really, really good. But Okereke has, like, they were right. Ballard and Ursay, when we were talking about in the offseason, he's got star potential. Yeah. And you can see it.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me right now is the defensive line's got to be more consistent. They got to get going faster. And really, somebody else other than Buckner needs to get going so he can get going faster. Because I think some of this is just, like, he's got to deal with, like, how people are going to block him.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be winning matchups early so that while he's figuring that out, or they're just taking it off of him so he can figure it out faster.
Well, there's, I mean, there, you again, I,
Eberflus has to figure it out too. He has to figure out how they're going to protect against him.
This might be oversimplifying it, but Justin Houston had no sacks against Cleveland and Cincinnati where they didn't get going in the first half, and Buckner didn't get, and in the game.
Houston did force one of the picks in Cleveland, though.
Agreed, but Buckner got going much sooner, I thought, in those games where Justin was at his peak this year. So maybe that has something to do with it. Again, we think Justin Houston is – he was questionable listed in going to the game.
He's a little banged up. The bye comes at a really good time for him.
Yeah.
He's been on the injury report a little bit the whole first half of the season.
Yeah.
He's been playing, but he's been on the injury report, so it's a good time for him.
Okay. I'm ready to make a call. And also an apology. God, we're doing a lot of these today. I questioned Chris Ballard and Frank Reich for picking Rodrigo Blankenship and saying, you guys maybe don't know what you're doing with the kickers. Because I really like Chase, and you did too. We both liked Chase McLaughlin. We both thought he was really good. But the Vinatieri thing put me off, obviously. Yeah. And then when they cut Chase, I was like, I don't think these guys maybe know what they're looking for.
He's been good.
He's been really good. To the point, like you've mentioned before, the best sign of a good kicker is you look down when he's kicking an extra point. You forget he's kicking an extra point.
I haven't paid attention to a Colts extra point in weeks.
At this point, I think he's your kicker.
Although, actually, I take that back. Today, the last one, I had a little bit of PTSD because the game had gone so bad, and they scored to tie it. And I was like, they're supposed to take the lead here on the extra point. And I was like, this feels like the way it's going. And then he made it anyway.
He hasn't missed one in 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
A kick?
Any kick.
No. The last one was here.
Yeah, not Chicago, not Cleveland, and not this one.
It was here.
Yeah, 4 weeks ago. So, yeah, I mean... A win. Among their many rookie wins, by the way. You and I have talked about the special teams wise. Isaiah Rodgers.
It's expanding, too, with like some of these undrafted guys doing some stuff.
Glasgow, DeMichael Harris. You're going to want to put these guys – but Isaiah Rodgers actually thought I had some nice plays today.
Yeah.
In the return
it's
game.
It's expanding a little bit. What they're doing is – the rookie class is expanding just a tad.
All right. Joel's bursting now, so I'm just going to say the name and then I'll let you go. Rigoberto Sanchez.
He's a witch. Rigoberto Sanchez is a witch. That's the only explanation I can have for the punt that landed on the one, which the Colts defense did a bad job of capitalizing on.
What do you mean?
The Bengals drove, like, most of the field.
Oh, I was going to say, they downed it. I bet you meant they didn't down it.
No. Yeah. The thing about it was, though, the ball, the Bengals committed a penalty on the gunner on that side. I think George Odom. Might have been Doolin. I can't remember. But they committed a penalty, and so that guy wasn't in perfect position to get it because he's trying to come back off the hold. The ball bounced directly up in the air.
Yeah, about 10 feet maybe. Yeah.
And bounced a little bit back. It was like the perfect shot. He's a witch.
He's a golfer. That's what it is. It almost seems like he's like a Tiger Woods with like a.
He's better than a golfer. He's a witch.
He is. He's a
he's
weapon.
Controlling
he is a weapon.
He's controlling the football with his mind.
I told you. You have to We're infringing on Kevin Bowen territory. Rigoberto Sanchez is Kevin Bowen's. I'm pretty sure.
Did he say he was a witch? Because I'm taking that.
Part. You can have the witch, but he has said he is the best player on the Colts at his position, and I think it's maybe hard to argue.
He's a witch.
DeForest Buckner would probably. Who's the best at their position on this? Like, again, like, obviously, you think he's the best at his position?
This year.
I think you're probably right, but...
Normally, it's Quentin.
Yeah.
Quentin's one of the few guards in the NFL that matters. I don't think that he's been quite as dominant as he's been before.
So everybody knows, I am not comparing the importance of a punter to DeForest Buckner. That's not what I'm doing. Just wondering, because Rigoberto has been so freaking good. Like, again, I don't watch a lot of other punters. But he's every game we've watched, he's better than the other punter.
Yeah, but Buckner has 13 quarterback hits.
You know, he's been awesome. I'm not
13 is a lot.
I'm not gonna argue with you.
From an interior guy.
I will just say that he has been great. And that he's in the conversation for best player at his position on the Colts. He's in the team photo of three or four people.
Yeah. That's fine.
Kinda got to everything.
I think so.
Colts. Joel, good or not?
I have no idea.
Are they good or not? They're 4-2.
I don't know.
The Titans are 5-0.
Jim, I don't know.
Any chance of winning the division?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Titans have been pretty impressive.
Yeah, they keep trying to lose games, though. It'll catch up at some point. They tried to lose to the Texans today.
They tried
to lose a couple weeks ago.
They did house the Bills, who I thought were pretty good.
Yeah, which is weird that they come back and...
Oh, it was on like 4 days rest.
If they're the juggernaut everybody thinks they are, they should house the.
Oh, I didn't say they're juggernaut.
They should house the.
I just correctly picked them to win the division, and Joel is spiteful now. So.
No, they're really good. The Titans are really good, but they like the division is still possibly in play. It just is.
Do you? Well, how? Okay, let me dial it back once before we end this thing. Are you comfortable saying that the Colts, as you see them now, are a playoff team?
I mean, 7 teams get in. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, right now, it would be a disappointment if the Colts didn't make the playoffs at this point in the season.
Well.
I think yes.
Yeah. The schedule gets so hard after the Lions game.
Right, this was an important win, and it would have been a huge loss in that regard.
Yeah, the schedule gets so hard after the Lions game.
I don't know why, but 4-2 feels, 4-2 and 3-3 feels so different to me.
It is, especially the way the schedule sets up.
Yeah.
Like, a loss to the Bengals and a loss to the Jaguars is bad.
Fresh against the Lions would be helpful. Not to say they're great, but I'm just saying being fresh against the Lions would make them... That's a good reason to feel like they can go 5-2 before they get into the tough part of the schedule.
Yeah, and then we'll have to talk about all the... They were 5-2 last year.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. What happened last year? How'd that story end? All right.
Well, I can tell you.
So, bye week.
To bring this full circle... The quarterback wasn't good. That's what happened.
The quarterback wasn't good. Good or not? Bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's what happened to 5-2.
All right. That'll be it for us. We will do a podcast Thursday, correct? I mean, no reason not to, right?
Yeah.
Bi-week podcast. Might not be as long. Might ramble on some stuff.
Who knows? It might be longer.
I asked Joel to look into something, a special feature for that podcast. We will see if he does it. I don't want to tease it in case we don't do it.
Oh.
We will see,
yeah.
But there could be something special going on there, so we'll let you know later. But yeah, anyway, that'll be it for us. A lot of stuff on IndyStar.com. Joel's got a good stuff up on the defense. I told you about Greg Doyle's story on Phil Rivers. I got Rivers' story. That'll be up. If you're listening to tonight, it'll be up tomorrow morning.
I'm going to write Marcus Johnson tomorrow.
But who?
Marcus Johnson. It's hard, honestly, guys, it was hard for me not to write Marcus Johnson tonight.
Yes. I'll probably write Jack Doyle. I'm not totally sure yet.
I tried. I was going to be like, oh, we're just going to throw Marcus Johnson out there. And it's like, okay, it's just we're flooding the zone too much.
Yeah. Well, you had to write two offense, defense. That makes sense. Space it out. So anyway, that's it for us. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoy the not that late night edition of the Colts Cover 2 podcast, which is also called the Good or Not podcast. So enjoy that.